I want to speak for a few moments this afternoon on this subject. If your heart is troubled. So if you are on overload, and if you are overwhelmed, you're in the right place. Let me ask you to turn to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. Here, in the hours before Calvary, Jesus reflects upon the cross. And as he is about to go through this ordeal on the cross, his mind is on others. Jesus, at this point, is carrying the weight, literally, of the whole world and its sins. But his concern is with his disciples. So he says to them at the beginning of verse 1 in John 14, he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." Hours after that one statement, the disciples' world will collapse. In hours, their hearts will be broken. In hours, the world that they have known with Jesus will be no more. In hours, that which in their mind was absolutely impossible is going to be a reality. So Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." And literally what that statement said, what Jesus literally said to them is he said, "Do not let your heart keep troubling you. Do not keep on being troubled. Do not keep on being troubled." There are two things tonight we want to look at. Number one, we want to take a look at what the problem is. What is it that the disciples are so concerned about? What is it that's happened to them? And then the second thing we're going to look at is the remedy for their problem. Jesus says, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. So the problem is that their heart was troubled. We want to look at why was their heart troubled. And then secondly, Jesus says, here is the remedy if your heart is troubled. So first, let's talk about what their problem was. The problem is that there are three things that are about to happen here in rapid succession to the disciples. So it's going to be one crisis, and then it immediately will be followed by another crisis, and it will immediately be followed by a third crisis. There are three things that are about to happen very quickly, and the combination of these three things are going to totally overwhelm the disciples. And so Jesus is telling them up front, don't let your heart keep being troubled. Now, what's happening here? Number one, Jesus has just explained to them that he is about to die. He has just explained, I'm going to die. Now, his disciples could not wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus was going to die. The disciples are like, look, you're the long-awaited Messiah. You are the one who Isaiah told us, you're coming. You are the one that Jeremiah said, you're going to establish a kingdom that will rule in our hearts. You're the one who Daniel said would establish a kingdom. It would break down the Babylonian kingdom. It would break down the Medes and the Persian kingdom. It would destroy Rome, and that your kingdom would last. You are the one we've been waiting for, and now you're telling us that the enemies are about to kill you? They couldn't comprehend this. Because to them, the kingdom that was coming wasn't a spiritual thing. To them, this kingdom that was going to be established was a political thing, and that the Jews were finally going to get out from underneath all of this oppression that the centuries had put on them. They had totally misunderstood this. Are you listening? So Jesus said, in Matthew 16, beginning verse 21, he began to explain to them how it was necessary that he was going to suffer and that he was going to be killed. And the apostle Peter immediately stood up and said, no, this is not ever going to happen. This is not ever going to happen. Don't you say that to us, because this isn't going to be true. And that's the occasion when Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Here is the apostle Peter standing face to face with Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 16, 21 through 23, the Bible says that Peter stood there and rebuked Jesus to his face. Now, what was Peter rebuking? Peter was rebuking the very suggestion that Jesus was going to die. Peter said, no. They were overwhelmed that he was going to die. The second thing here that happens immediately is that Jesus has just told them, one of you is going to betray me. You're in John 14, look at the other page, John 13, verse 21, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. Verse 21, Jesus said to them, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Do you know how devastating that was to those men? Look at the very next verse, verse 22. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. Jesus said to them, "One of you will betray me," and they are shocked at this. So they're looking at each other and they're thinking, "Who of us is about to do this?" The third thing that happens here is that Jesus informs them that Peter, one of the leaders of the leaders, is going to deny him. Look at John 13 again. Look at beginning at verse 36. Look at it. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you'll follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, how can we not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Verse 38, Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times." Now follow me. All of these circumstances has hit them at once. I'm going to die and I'm going to leave you. One of you is going to betray me, and one of the leaders from among my very leaders is going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And when these men hear those three things, these men are shook to their souls. Listen. Sometimes life isn't just a burden. Life is overwhelming. Sometimes life isn't just dealing with a trial. Sometimes life is stomping up and down on you. The problem may be at home with husband or wife or children. Sometimes the problem, the trial, may be at work. Sometimes the trial may be with illness. Sometimes the trial may be with the death of a relative. And then there are those times in life where it isn't just one of those things, but it's a number of those things that pile together and life overwhelms us. But what I want you to understand here is that Jesus understood that. He understood what they were all about to go through. He understood that all of this flood was coming at once. And so he says to them, "Guys, listen to me. Do not allow yourself to keep being troubled." Jesus understood that sometimes life is unfair and that life will jump up and down on your heart. He understood it in these men, and he understands it with us. So what's the remedy? When it isn't just one thing, but it's a lot of things, what's the remedy? When your heart hasn't just been broken, but you feel like your heart has been ripped out, what's the remedy for all that? Look at John 14, verse 1 again. "Do not let your heart be troubled." Literally, "Do not keep on being troubled." Watch it. believe in God, believe also in me. Now I want you to look at those two statements. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I want you to understand two things about those two statements there. First, both of those statements are in an imperative mode. What does that mean? That means that both of these statements are commands. Jesus is saying, listen, I command you to believe in God. I command you to believe in me. Both of those statements are in a command mode. The second thing you need to understand about both of those statements is that both of those statements are in a present tense form. What Jesus said to them, I command you keep on believing in God. I command you keep on believing in me. Brethren, listen, when your heart is broke, I command you, keep on believing in God, I command you, keep on believing in me. When you don't understand how it's going to work out, you keep believing in God, and you keep believing in Jesus. When you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, you keep believing in God, and you keep believing in Jesus. When your heart is troubled, and when your heart is overwhelmed by what life, by what Satan, and by what the world has put on you, you understand the remedy to a broken heart, the remedy to a troubled heart is faith. Brethren, that's always been the remedy. That's always been the remedy. Do not keep on being troubled. Well, how do I do that? I command you, keep believing in God. I command you, keep believing in me. The remedy to a troubled heart is faith, and always has been a remedy. Now here's the lesson. What kind of faith is he talking about? When he says, keep believing in God, keep believing in me, what are the characteristics of that belief? The world is filled with people who say they believe in God. The world is filled with people who honestly believe that they believe in God, and they are devastated by every wind that blows down the street. Something is wrong. What is wrong is that their faith isn't that faith. What is wrong is that how they believe isn't believing at all. What are the characteristics of this belief that he's talking about? Three things. Number one, this faith, this is a faith that comes from you being exposed to the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. The more exposure you have to this book, the greater your faith becomes. Your mother believed in God, and your mother told you to believe in God. But what your mother's faith in you won't get you through when you get overwhelmed. Yeah, I just talked about your mama. But you understand what I said? The Bereans are described in Acts 17 and verse 11 as being more noble-minded than though their counterparts in the city of Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not what they were being told is true. So if they heard a sermon on John 14, they just didn't swallow it and say, oh, I've got it, because if that's all you get, you don't have it. What they do is go home and say, now I got to find out everything I can about that. And if you do that, then when your heart is troubled, you can get through with it. Hello? The remedy for a troubled heart, the remedy for when life completely stomps you and rips your heart out, the remedy for that is faith, but it's a right kind of a faith. It's a faith that comes from you being exposed to this book. That, listen, you are not gonna make it if you're depending on stuff somebody's told you about the Bible. You've got to get this yourself. You got to get this yourself. And the reason that so many Christians fall by the wayside, the reason they fall by the wayside and they're wiped out when anything happens to them, and they're saying, well, I'm a Christian and I believe in God. Yeah, but your faith is built only by two sermons and a Bible class that you hear. And when you go home, you put this book on a shelf and it stays there till you come back here. I'm sorry. If that's your faith, you're going to be a casualty. The remedy for a troubled heart is faith, but it's a faith that exposes you to the Word of God. The more exposure you have to this, the greater faith you have, and the greater faith you have, the more you're able to deal with what comes to you at life. A second characteristic of this belief. Believe in God. Keep believing in God. Keep believing in me. The second characteristic of this belief, it is a faith that trust God enough to surrender ourselves to Him. It is a faith, a belief in God, a belief in Jesus, that trust in Him enough to just surrender yourself to Him. Now here's our problem. Many Christians and many people even of the world, when they say they believe in God, what they mean is that intellectually they believe in God. But that's not enough. Now, I want you to hold John 14. I want you to go back like two pages, John chapter 12, and I want you to listen carefully to what's said here. John chapter 12. Verse 42. John 12:42. Nevertheless, Many even of the authorities, many of the authorities believed in him. That is, many of the Jewish authority, the religious leaders, many of them believed in Jesus. But for fear of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it. So they would not be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Here are Jewish religious leaders who believed in Jesus. If you said, do you believe in Jesus? They said, yes. But they didn't believe enough to trust in him to get out of what they were in. And that's where a lot of us are. Well, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Okay, but does that belief, does that faith go to the extent that you're willing to trust him to just surrender yourself to him? If it doesn't, that's not it. Matthew 14, the disciples are in a ship. Jesus walks on the water. How cool would it have been on that boat that night? Jesus walks on the water. These men of great faith see Jesus walking on the water, and in their great faith, they're terrified because they think it's a ghost. Then they see it as Jesus, and remember Peter? Lord, if it's you, let me get out. Jesus says, come out of here. You know what Peter did? He climbed over the side of that boat and walked on the water. Listen to me. There were two men, not one, that walked on the water. The Bible clearly says Peter walked on the water. Then here comes the storm. Waves smacking against that boat. Rain pouring against that boat. And Peter starts looking around thinking, how'd I get in this shape? Are you listening? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I got sympathy for him. Nobody else got out of the boat that night. And I'm sure there were some in that boat saying, yeah, look at him. Nah. Yeah, look at him. Listen. If you stayed in the boat, you keep your mouth shut. You didn't climb over the side of it. Keep your mouth shut. You can't criticize somebody walking on the water while you're sitting in a boat. No. Now listen. Peter had enough faith to crawl out of that boat and stand on that water, but he didn't trust the Lord enough when the storm came. It's easy to stand in a boat talking about glory to God. That's like being in the church building. Oh, hallelujah! But then Tuesday night, the devil knocks on your door and just barges in there and takes control of your family and takes control of your life. Then it's a whole other deal. The faith that conquers a troubled heart is your mind, your heart, being exposed to this book, and it's a faith that reaches a point that says, I believe enough, I'm going to trust in God enough to just surrender myself to him, and whatever happens is just going to happen because I'm doing this. The third characteristic of this faith is a faith that submits in obedience. Obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Obedience. Romans 10:17 talks about faith coming through the word of God. Romans 10:10 talks about belief. So verse 17 talks about faith. Verse 10 talks about belief. Sandwiched between verse 17 and 10, sandwiched between faith and believing, in verse 16, Paul talks about obedience. Faith and obedience always go hand in hand. I believe in God. Great. Now, do you believe enough to obey him? Everybody here, most everybody here, is old enough to understand this. Life will grab you by the throat sometimes. And sometimes it grabs you harder around the throat than it does at other times. But when life grabs you around the throat, how you're able to deal with that and handle that is going to be determined by this thing. Your faith. Your faith. Whether you conquer the mountain or the mountain conquers you will be determined by your faith. A faith that has come about through your exposure. Study, I said study of that book. An exposure that's brought you to a point to where there is no question in your mind that God exists and that God will care for you, and I will trust him to surrender myself, and I will trust him to surrender myself to obey him come what may. That is how you deal with a troubled heart. But if you have half faith and the world collapses, that's why you react the way you do. You blame God, you blame the brethren, you blame your mother, you blame everybody else and everything around you. And a lot of the problem, I say this loving you, but a lot of the problem is your own faith. It's your own faith. Jesus told those men who are about to be completely overwhelmed, do not keep on being troubled. I command you, just keep believing in God. I command you, just keep believing in Jesus. Because any trial and any problem you have, God will be greater than that problem. You must determine in your own life to build your faith. You must determine in your own life to grow in your faith. Come to Bible class. Whatever they study, go home and keep studying that. Think about that. What did he say about that? What did I think about what he said about that? And then when you get out into the world, listen, think about what you've been studying about. Because truths will hit you in the strangest places at the strangest times. But it won't do it if you ain't got your mind. This afternoon, if you're here If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, we'll give you an opportunity to do that now as together we stand and as we sing.